Mark, we're here tonight at the Emerald Awards in Edmonton, and your project has won an Emerald Award. Could you tell me what the award is and what the project is?
So it's called the Shared Footprint Award, and it relates to our project, which focuses on demonstrating scientific evidence related to access management and how effective access management is at ensuring habitat for grizzly bears and elk, and demonstrating how effectively access management works or doesn't. And there's always been a lot of talk about how access management is not very effective. People find ways to get around the gates and things like that. But it doesn't really matter because 90% or more of the people respect the gates. And we have documented actually the traffic behind the gates and in areas where there aren't gates. And it's very dramatic. I mean, and the response by the wildlife is remarkable. If we have fewer than 12 vehicles per day on a road, and so this can be industrial use or whatever, the elk and grizzly bears are all over those roads. But when you exceed that threshold, they avoid those roads by as much as 2 kilometers. And so there are vast areas of habitat that are lost as a consequence of having ungated roads where there's unbridled recreational use of the roads. We can still have wildlife behind the gates. People can walk in and hunt their elk or go in to view grizzly bears or go bicycle riding or whatever, but vehicular use of those trails diminishes the value of the landscape for wildlife.
And whereabouts was this project located?
Southwestern Alberta, starting basically at the Montana border, north to Kay Country. Chain of Lakes is essentially the northern edge of our primary study area. A lot of the work was in the southern portion, in the Castle Crown area. We had a large number of elk, 182 elk with radio collars on them, including Argos GPS collars that allowed the elk to disperse, and we could track them anywhere on the planet. We had elk dispersed to Kalispell, Montana, halfway across BC, north almost to Calgary, and we didn't lose track of a single elk. We were afraid to put radio collars on spike bulls in particular because they're the dispersing cohort, and with this new technology, we could track them anywhere. And we had really detailed information recorded every 2 hours for all these elk. We have well over 1 million relocations on elk, but that's not to mention all of the grizzly bear data we have, and we have detailed studies on cougars and wolves, all in the same landscape. So we track not only the elk, but also their primary predators, and obtained detailed information about the efficacy of access management for all these species, but also a number of interactions among wildlife species as well as between humans and human use of the landscape and wildlife.
Now, this is a Shared Footprints Award. You had a lot of partners, and this actually went over a long period of time. Who all was involved in this?
So, Carita Bergman wrote the initial proposal. She was an ESRD biologist based in Pincher Creek. And she wrote the proposal for Roger Creasy, and Roger really liked it, and he promoted it within the company, Shell Canada. They launched the project, and then after a few months asked me if I would maybe take over some of the academic supervision and get some graduate students involved. So I wrote an NSERC proposal for a collaborative research and development grant. So basically, Shell put up $1 million, NSERC put up $1 million, and we had a 5-year project. And we have one more year to wrap things up, but we're coming to the close of this project. But the papers are just pouring out right now. We have a very productive group of postdocs and graduate students, and we have such a wealth of data that we will be publishing papers for the next few years on all of the work that we've done. But it's been very exciting, and we've had such a terrific team. And we get together at least 3 times a year and have discussions about where we're going, what's happening, and developing a strategy for the next round.
Now, this is about access management, and you mentioned gates. What are the means of controlling access that you used and that you measured?
Well, if you're really going to control access, you're going to decommission the road and you're going to gouge out a trench and put up big rocks and make it impossible to get in and then rip up the road. But that happens sometimes, but most of the time we just put a gate across it. And in fact, in places where there is an active gas well, for example, we just put up a heavy gate and a sign on the gate that says restricted access for wildlife protection, that sort of thing. And most people respect those gates, especially in southwestern Alberta, where they're used to seeing gates a lot because there's so much private land in the area. Ranchers put up gates and they expect people not to go on their property. And so gates are not a surprise to people who are out touring the landscape. And they're very effective at reducing recreational use of the landscape. There's no restriction on people going into these areas behind the gate, but they can't take their four-wheel drive pickup truck back there. People can walk in, bike in, quad in, and we've documented very clearly that people do respect the gates. That we have over a 90% reduction in traffic associated with gated areas, and that's sufficient to protect those habitats for elk and for grizzly bears. Those two species in particular are really sensitive to traffic on roads. We've documented that. So that's been the focus of our study. But we've also had a look at wolves that love roads. They run the roads. And cougars as well. And cougars are really oblivious. They're so secretive that they can be right next to the road and nobody knows they're there. But we've had a number of interesting results come out of our research, but clearly the highlight is that access management is a very cost-effective, safe, cheap way to ensure persistence of some of our high-profile wildlife species in the face of industrial development. Industrial development is here to stay. This is Alberta, very much driven by the oil and gas sector, but we can have oil and gas development as well as wildlife if we just use a few simple rules like gating roads to new oil wells and things like that.
Do you think that this would be applicable to other parts of the province?
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. And we've known that access management can be effective. We just collected strategically the kinds of data that you need to really demonstrate it, publish it in the peer-reviewed literature, and make it scientifically defensible.
And what does this say about collaboration between companies and scientists? It seems that it worked out very well for you.
Yes, there was a long process of developing a data sharing agreement. There were some bumps along the way, but by and large, I think we worked out a very favorable collaboration. We had a large number of sponsors. Natural Sciences and Engineering Research Council of Canada was the biggest one, but the Alberta Conservation Association contributed tens of thousands of dollars to the project. Safari Club International contributed, TD Environment, Mountain Equipment Co-op, Y2Y program. There was a list almost as long as your arm of sponsors for this project. Various aspects, some groups were interested in particular pieces of the bigger project, but we had terrific support from the environmental community as well as the hunting and angling community for this research.
So now that you have the award, how does that make you feel?
We're very happy that we've been recognized for the effort. And we'll carry on and try to keep the ball rolling.
Thank you very much, Mark, and congratulations to you and your students.
Thank you very much.